The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I don't know who this guy is busting in on me.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. What are you doing?
I told the guys I was going to do this to you, and
they said,
no, you're not going. How do you think he's going to react? Exactly like he just did.
Oh, man, I think they're replaying something here. What am I doing?
Actually, you're sitting in for me today.
Yes, I am.
Right in the middle of projects here. I've gotten more done in the last 4 hours. And I have in the last 4 days, and I knew I needed the time this afternoon, so I invited you to sub, and I'm most appreciative of giving you the opportunity.
Well, thank you, John. Did you catch any fish, by the way?
Sometimes you're gullible. You'll fall for the fish stories.
I sure did.
Now, that's kind of an inside thing, folks.
Yes.
He and I were texting the other day, and he said, well, I'm going fishing. And you described your fishing as seaside, I believe, fishing.
Yeah, surf fishing.
Yeah, and this is the crap that rolls up in the surf and the sand and the dirty water. And I said, you know, you haven't lived until you've gone out and hooked into a 500 or 600 pound tuna. Now, that's fishing.
That is.
But I've never done it, have you?
I have never caught a fish that big, no. I've caught some good-sized fish deep-sea fishing, but never that big, no.
Well, as many fish as I've caught in my life, I don't think it would all total up to 500 pounds.
That's a lot. That's big.
I'm in the office working, and I just thought I'd screw with you.
Yeah, you did.
I knew I'd get you. I knew I'd get you.
Oh, God, did you ever? I'm thinking, what the hell is going on?
At any rate, have a good show, my friend, and I will see the rest of you tomorrow.
Yep.
Thanks, Steve.
Yep, got it. All right. Well, enough of that. That was fun. I thought Mike was having fun with me and just replaying something, forgot to tell me. Well, you know, I'm your guest host today, Steve Elkins. I have a show on the network every Sunday called Off the Beaten Path, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I got that out of the way. Let's start the show. You know, today feels like a Friday. I will treat it like a Friday. John calls me a little late to pick up the show, and I said, sure, I can do it. I've got a lot of stuff written, things I'd like to talk about, some rants, and things I want to get off my chest. So I got plenty between now and Sunday to talk about. So we'll treat it like an open phone Friday, even though it's Wednesday. What is the date? September 19th. And so 1-800-313-9443 is the telephone number. We'll bounce around a little bit here. We've got a lot of stuff we can talk about. I do want to start the show off on a little bit of a humorous note, because John and I had talked about this, and I had been back and forth talking to Michael Rivero about this, and just a little humorous story to throw your way, because it is funny. I talked about it on my show on Sunday. But for those who didn't listen in, we'll get to hear it again, or you can just close your ears and walk away for about 5 minutes and then come back. We were talking about the possibility of bringing back the draft. There's been talk about it. As it currently stands, as you're 18 years old, you have to sign up with Selective Service, or you can't go to college, you can't get loans. Pretty much a lot of arm twisting there to make sure you comply with Selective Service, and you have to sign up. Not that you're going to go anywhere, you just have to sign up, they have to know who you are, keep track of you. But I started thinking about the time I went in the military back in 1981 in the Air Force, did my 4 years, got out, and that I realized that my generation was in much better shape than this generation now. I see these kids get off the bus now, and I think they actually have to put heavy-duty shocks on the buses now because of the weight of these kids. They're little fat kids. They get off the bus, and when they get off the bus, the springs, they bounce back up the bus itself. And I've noticed that they're just very, very out of shape. You know, they're very tech-savvy, playing with their little video games and their cell phones. They could do everything that I can't do on a cell phone, I'm sure, or a video game. And they are not active. When I was a kid, growing up, I would the sun would come up, I'd be on my bicycle, I would ride until sunset. And if I wasn't riding my bicycle, I'd be playing tennis because I was a competitive tennis player and a competitive swimmer. So my family was very, very active in athletics. We didn't get any trouble. There was no drug worries in my family. I'm not getting mixed up with the wrong crowd. And I was with the sporting crowd, staying healthy, staying active. And pretty much today, the same way, staying healthy. Well, you have to be. What kind of nurse can you be telling people to live a healthy lifestyle and be a big fat guy with a big role hanging over your belt? It doesn't work very well to influence others to live a healthy lifestyle if you don't look at yourself. So that's part of my philosophy. But we were going back and forth talking about this generation of kids that they're out of shape, and they are. They're terrible out of shape. So when I went in, there was a certain requirement you had to do. You had to do push-ups. You had to do sit-ups. You had to run a mile in a certain amount of time. And actually, all of it was pretty easy. It was a piece of cake for somebody who actually works out a little bit and is athletic. 10 push-ups? Probably 100 sit-ups. And you had to run the mile within 10 minutes. It's not too hard to do. You could actually probably walk it in 10 if you wanted to, a fast walk. So I didn't see anybody. Well, but one guy, take it back. One person in my flight of 50 guys appeared. He looked like he was in shape. He was a tall, slender guy. He was under my weight. I went in at 158 in the military at 20 years old, and he was less than that, but he was really tall and skinny and lanky. And I remember they were trying to test us to see how athletic we were. So we had our first little test of that. Drop and give me 10. Well, Pat drops, and he gives us probably two or three good push-ups, and then he struggles big time. His body is shaking, and he looks like he's having a seizure. It doesn't look too good. He's not going to make 10, and we've already completed our 10. We're just watching this guy, and he wasn't overweight. Like I said, he was tall and lanky, and he got three off, good ones, and then he started to struggle with his arms and kind of buckle. And the TI at the time, the training instructor, reached back, grabbed him by his belt, pulled him up and down, up and down, up and down, and then he made the comment, "You wouldn't make any woman happy. My God, can't you do 10 push-ups?" Well, he had basic training to basically 6 or 8 weeks at the time. I can forget what it was. I think it was 8 weeks. He had 8 weeks to build up to get 10 push-ups in, and he did. He finally did. I was just amazed that somebody couldn't do 10 push-ups at all, or the 25 sit-ups, or run the mile under 10 minutes. But there was one individual. Now you look at the individuals, these kids nowadays, and most of them can't. They cannot give you 10 push-ups. They can't do 25 sit-ups. I mean, these kids have been sitting on the couch playing their video games, eating their cheesy puffs, and they're drinking their soda pop and getting fat. And yeah, like I said, they can do everything technology-wise, but they can't perform athletically. And physically, they're just not in shape. They'll make good police officers someday. Have you noticed all the police officers? They're really out of shape, too. I don't know how that happens. They dropped the ball in the standards on that. But when I was in the military, you had to live by a certain set of rules and your standards and your physical ability. And if you started to lapse a little bit, they would let you know. And they would put you on a program they called the Fat Boy Program. I never got to be on the Fat Boy Program. But I did see some officers, not officers. You know, the officers kind of got away with a lot of that because they're officers. You know, they're special. The enlisted people, you're going on the Fat Boy Program, you're going to shake a few pounds, and then you're going to be in standard again, and you're fine. These kids nowadays, they can't possibly fit the requirements, the physical requirements to be soldiers in our military, which then Mike and I agreed, and John agreed, that, well, they're really not looking for a lot of physical soldiers. Our next wars, and I say next because they're not going to stop, wars are going to continue because they're profitable. And we're not done raping the Middle East and other parts of the world to steal their resources and steal their manufacturing, steal their people, and we need the slave labor. So they're not done yet. So wars are going to continue, unfortunately. I'm working to stop that, as I have five grandchildren. Three of them are grandsons, and I don't want to see a life like that for them. I would love to turn the page, and I would like to stop all these wars of conquest and get back to working with other nations, being friendly, you know, commerce, fair commerce. But the story I have to share with you, this is the first I've ever seen in my life, and it ties in with this generation of millennials who they're not happy now even with getting the participation trophy, which nullifies everything you've ever worked for. If you set goals and you want to succeed in life, then everybody gets a participation trophy, it really means nothing. It really doesn't. But this generation is no longer happy with even receiving the participation trophy. Let me give you a little example here. When I lived in California, there was a place nearby me, a couple, I'd say 10 miles down the road from me, called Healdsburg, California. You can look on the internet on this one. It's a lot of fun. Well, the Healdsburg High School football team, their senior football team, had only had three games in the season. They have not done very well. Evidently, they got a really bad spanking on their third defeat and has decided to throw in the towel. I just can't get over how these young men on a football team have all collectively decided, I give up. I give up. I can't compete. I'm going to quit. And that the coaching staff is okay with that. And the school administration is okay with that too. So if this is a domino effect carrying on with this generation, not just this one school, what do we have here? What kind of kids are we raising here to be quitters and give up? Now, I would think that the administration would say, hand down to the coaches, well, push them harder, train them harder, make them stronger, get them in the gym. But no, they're okay with it too. So they're not going to have a senior football team. They've thrown in the towel. It's all over. And I just could not believe that. That would be a possibility these days. Because if I'm not successful, I work a little harder to be successful. But evidently, that wasn't even a consideration or an option. You guys can quit. We're okay with it. Maybe we'll try again next year. Maybe we won't. And these are the programs where all the money is being pooled into anyway, which is, it angers me even more so that they're taking away from other programs to funnel into the football teams. And then we have a football team that says, I quit. I don't want to play anymore. I'm taking my ball home. I'm done. Reminds me of that Charlie Brown thing. You know, she pulls the ball back and he falls on his rear end. This is it. We're done. Wow. When I was a kid growing up, a lot of competitive swimming, like I said, there was a swim meet in Cincinnati, Ohio. And it was actually, the team was actually owned by Charles Keating. Yes, the SNL guy, Charles Keating Sr. I actually knew him, kind of. Pictures, ops I've had with him, talked to him. My father knew him better than I did. And we would never thought, you know, that he was a dishonest man. But aside of that, his swim team, the Cincinnati Marlins, was one of the top swim teams in the nation. Everybody would love to have been a part of that swim team. I trained with some pretty good swimmers, world class, definitely ranked in the nation. My sister made the 1980 Olympic team, which did not get to go because of politics. Carter saying, nope, you can't go because Russia invaded Afghanistan. So there you go. All the hard work and training my sister did to make the 1980 Olympic team did not get to participate. Politics. So there was a T-shirt and there was a towel, a pool towel that I'll never forget. And I still have to this day. It's not looking real good, but I've kept it over all these years. And what it says on it, in the Cincinnati Marlins, this was their little logo. They had the Marlin emblem on their towel. And below that, it said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Cincinnati Marlins. And I've always remembered that. So did I give up? No. I just tried a lot harder, worked a lot harder. And, you know, when you finally came to the finish line and you won, God, did it feel good. It felt good because everything you'd worked for had paid off. Pretty good feeling. But this football team in Hillsborough, California, quit. Just totally quit. And I hope this is not a sign of the times. I hope this is not a sign of the times that we're going to have a generation who can't compete. They have no skills. They have nothing to really offer. And now they're not even happy with the participation trophies, but they're just going to be pushing for, and John and I talked about this, socialism. We're seeing higher and higher polling of this generation saying, I want it. I want it all. But they have no idea. They have no idea about mathematics, economics, and that if you get something for free, somebody has to pay for it. They don't get this yet. And they don't teach this in school. So they think for some reason we're just a big money pot, and you can reach in and grab it here for this and this and this and this, and I can get my health care, and I can get this for free, and I can go to college for free. They have no clue. No clue of socialism and who has to pay for it. They really don't. They're very naive. And I thank the public school system for reinforcing this. This indoctrination that socialism is a good thing. And I'm going to do a little research this next week. I want to find out these kids in high school, how many of them actually have been taught or learned anything about the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights. I am just very curious because when I was a kid growing up, it was called social studies. And now, I don't know, I don't even think they call it civics. I'm not sure what they call it, just history. But is it accurate history? Or is it history they would like to be, like the Me Toos and these people that want to tear down the history and rewrite this history that better suits them, makes them feel good? You know, those are tearing down the statues all around me here, down here in Florida and Georgia, tearing down the Civil War statues because, well, I think that's racist. You don't have a clue what racism really is. They really don't. Somebody has whispered that in their ear and told them that they should be angry about these things. People like George Soros, Mr. Globalist himself, trying to fuel the fire to divide the people, divide the races, and he's doing a damn good job at it. I got to admit, he's doing a damn good job at it. Well, like I said, for open phone last day, I'm going to treat today like a Friday. 1-800-313-9443. And my email is also off the beaten path, steve@gmail.com. If you ever want to drop me a line or tell me off or whatever, that's fine. I get a little bit of both. Actually, most of the time I get people saying, hey, I like what you talk about. Thanks. I respect your opinion. But I have a difference of opinion, and I love that. I love when people challenge me and have a difference of opinion because, you know what, we're all here to learn and then share with others. And I like that. I like the difference of opinion. Can you imagine how boring everything would be if everybody agreed on everything? How boring life would be. It really would be. It would be so boring to say, well, he agrees with what I said. I don't, you know, what can I shake you up with? You know, disagree with me on something. But no, if you agree with everything I have to say, well, then you either really don't care or I'm right all the time, and I can't possibly be that. So disagreeing is good, respectfully disagreeing. And that's what I always like. If somebody disagrees with me, respectfully disagree. Don't call me. Don't type an email to me in all caps screaming at me and then using some foul language because then you're going to get yourself on a block list. This is the National Intel Report. Steve Elkin sitting in for John Stadmiller as he's fishing, catching that big whopper. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Around the clouds, what goes up must come down.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
And we are back. You know, when I hear that bumper music there, I'm reminded by the movie Casino. And I think that was towards the very end when they were starting to shoot everybody and everybody was getting thrown in a hole, if I remember right. Hey, are we having fun yet or what? I mean, we have the Brett Kavanaugh witch hunt going on. I got to laugh, actually, in a way. I want to laugh, and another part of me is getting very angry. As these accusations and allegations, for some reason, this is a domino effect. What we're seeing here, accusations and allegations, is the new proof. It's the new Me Too proof, and you don't actually need evidence and proof. You can just say it, and then find somebody to collaborate behind you and say, "Yeah, it really happened," and that's good enough for me. But just try to go into a court of law and say, "Your Honor, I accuse this person. We have allegations they did this and this." And the judge is going to say, if he's a good judge, he's an honest judge, he'll say, well, where's your proof? Well, we don't really have any proof. It's just his word and her word, and that's it. Get out of here, and maybe I should give you in contempt of court and a nice fine for wasting my time. But That's exactly what I see what's going on here. And, of course, this is a last-ditch effort by the Democrats. Boy, I tell you, how low can they go? How low can they go? I keep thinking they've gone low, and they can't go much further than that low. And they keep going a little lower. It's like that little limbo, that little bar, you know, when you do that little dance under the stick there. What do they call that? The limbo thing, whatever. So they can go lower. Evidently, I don't think we're done yet. They can go a lot lower. And I guess supposedly the Democrats had this information, what I understand, back in July. So why not bring that to the attention from the very beginning when Brett Kavanaugh was a nominee for Supreme Court of Justice? Why'd they wait so long? It was their last little ditch ever. We can't derail this guy. Let's pull the sex thing out. Let's get that. It seems to work. And which bothers me is this whole accusations and allegations thing is becoming the new proof. And I think it's time right now. And I said this before. We saw this in the 70s and 80s quite a bit, more so in the 70s, the defamation of character lawsuits. I think this is the opportune time for all those men who are accused, innocent men who are accused, to seriously contact an attorney and start filing defamation of character lawsuits. That it seems to be the only way we can stop these nut jobs from trying to paint you as a pedophile or a sexual deviant or pervert or one of those situations. It's time. It's time to start the legal process in these defamation of character lawsuits. We have to shut these people down. Now, I can tell you, in my 57 years, I have had three little brushes with the Me Toos before they were called the Me Toos. One in college, I had a crazy neighbor upstairs who thought she could pound on my door. And when I opened the door, she barged herself in to my apartment, scared the hell out of my little girl. And I finally got the woman out, pushed out the front door into the hallway out of my apartment. She was angry because she said my stereo was a little too loud. Well, I play jazz music, and I don't play jazz music loud because you can't, because it doesn't sound good loud. A very low volume, you hear everything. And my little girl there at the time was 3 years old. So playing loud jazz music, no. So the woman fell outside the front door. I pushed her out. She ended up tripping and falling down. I left, gathered my daughter, and we said, well, we're going to go over to my mom and dad's house. And as I'm walking down to the car, get in the car, got my daughter strapped in, this big monstrous woman that had entered my apartment jumped on the hood of my car. And I started to pull back, and I started to leave the parking lot, and she finally jumped off. Well, I went to the office right away to report this crazy woman. And before I'd finished talking to the manager, and they knew about this woman, she was whacked out nutty. I don't know what her deal was. The police had arrived. She had called the police and said I had hit her. No truth to that whatsoever. Actually, it was quite the opposite. She'd actually grabbed my little girl's hat from her coat and held my daughter back so she couldn't get away. My little daughter's crying and screaming. This woman is terrorizing her. So, no, I didn't lay a hand on this woman. So the police get there and they ask her, would you like to see? They saw the little scratch on her ankle and they said, would you like to see seek medical attention? And she goes, no. So I thought that was the end of that. I drive away. My daughter's shaking. She doesn't want to come back to my apartment ever again. This was a traumatic experience for her. So when we get back, I'll tell you a little bit more about my brush with the Me Toos. Episode number one, two more to follow. And then we'll get into Mr. Kavanaugh's accuser. This is the National Intel Report. Steve Elkin sitting in for John Stadmiller.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
I like that song. Steve Elkins back here at the mic. So let me finish up here a little bit what happened to me and my little brushes, and then we're going to bring in Brett Kavanaugh, his accuser, and kind of break this situation down here. So this woman barges my apartment, the whole deal, and accuses me of pushing her, hitting her. So it went nowhere. Nothing happened, at least not what she said. And I figured she's just a nutcase. We'll just let this go. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to avoid this woman, even though she lives above me. Actually above me? Below me. I'm going to make sure I just don't bump into this woman at all. And my daughter wouldn't come back to my apartment anymore anyway. So I just avoided her. And then 60 days later, I get a summons to appear in court on a battery charge on this woman. 60 days. She waited 60 days and then filed at the very end to make sure. And she was forced into doing so. One of these women's groups found her and said, "Oh, battered woman, we support you." And so she didn't have nothing out of her own pocket to come after me. This was a woman's group that grabbed her and said, "We need a victim here. We got a case here." Well, they didn't really know their client very well. as I had witnesses to jumping on my car, and the whole altercation was caught by my other neighbor who saw the entire thing. And he said to me, young black guy, nice guy, he said, God, you were really controlled. You held yourself back. He said, I would have pounded that woman in the ground. He said, when she touched my kid, I would have lost. He said, I would have pounded her in the ground. I said, well, I'm not going to do that because that would just feed into whatever she wants to do. And I just don't want any contact with this woman. So I show up in court. I subpoenaed my witnesses just to make sure they'd be there all legal-like. They said they'd show, but I had to do it the old legal way, the paperwork. And the office manager showed up, and the other neighbor showed up to testify on my behalf of the whole scenario. The office had problems with the woman. They thought she was whacked out. She was very verbally abusive, used a lot of four-letter words, this woman. And here's the weird part. She was actually in the School of Nursing as I was going there. I never bumped into her. I don't know what year she was in. I never saw her in my classes, but she was in the School of Nursing, as far as I know. So I go to court, and I stand there before the judge. And here's one thing that really irritated me is that I was a poor college kid. I didn't have money to defend myself. I had to rely on the court-appointed attorney. I really was a struggling student. Between the money I had for what I worked and my rent and everything else, my car insurance and food, I really didn't have a lot left. So I had to rely on the court-appointed attorney. And he's telling me, you know, I clued him in what was going on the whole case. And he said, I believe you. I believe you 100%. But here's our problem. We got the hanging judge here. This guy loves throwing people in jail, especially men. And when it comes down, they'll take her word over your word. So my suggestion to you, Mr. Elkins, is plead guilty. They'll send you to an anger management class. And in so many years, it'll be expunged off your record, and that'll be all right. You know, that's it. I said, are you serious? Yeah. No, I will never cop a plea. I will never plead guilty on something I did not. I said, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. He said, you're going to go to jail. I said, I'm going to fight, and I'm going to tell the truth. And the truth is I didn't touch this woman. I did nothing wrong. I escaped this woman. She was the attacker. He said, you're going to jail. I said, well, we'll see. Stood before the judge, and she stood there. And she, her attorney offered up some pictures, which is very interesting. A whole bunch of pictures of a woman with bruises all over her body. 60 days after the incident, when she had a scratch on her ankle, 60 days later, she's got bruises all over her body. Now, how'd that happen? And why'd you wait 60 days? So how did this all happen? She claims I beat her up. This woman was self-abusing herself, and she's going to try to convict me on battery, basically on her own abuse to her body. And I looked at that and I said, you know, I'm glad I did this. So I went to the police department and got the police report on the incident. And I highlighted it. Injuries at the scene of the accident there, or the incident, the injuries, highlighted it. Scratch on an ankle, refused medical treatment, scratch on an ankle. So how do you get all these bruises all over your body 60 days later, after you refused treatment at the scene and you had only a scratch on your ankle, and the police officer verified that? Well, this prosecuting attorney on the woman's side there, the feminist attorney, looked at her client and like, who are these people here with him? She finally realized she got duped. She'd been lied to. And my witnesses were called and testified on my behalf, and it made perfect sense what this woman had done. But that wasn't what sealed up the case and won my case for me. I got to go home and all this crap is over with. Was that the woman mouthed off to the judge, the male judge, and she admitted barging into my apartment. She admitted grabbing my child's hat, the hat on her coat, and not allowing her to leave. And my daughter crying and screaming. And he said, you terrorize this little girl, and you have nothing to say about that. The woman actually mouthed off to him and said, I don't care about his daughter. I could care less about his daughter. She actually said that. I could care less about his daughter. The judge, starting to get a little red in the face about this time, he said, you don't care about a little three-year-old girl terrorizing a little three-year-old girl. She said, I don't care about his daughter. And the judge looked at me and said, Mr. Elkins, I am so sorry that you got dragged into court on this. And he told the woman to shut up. She refused to shut up. He told her to shut up two or three times. She refused to shut up. He said, I'll throw you in jail. And she still kept mouthing off. She didn't care about my child. He slapped the gavel down. He said, dismissed. I'm sorry, Mr. Elkins. This is it. It's over. Someone evidently is mentally ill. Something wrong with her. Nothing happened to her. She had no contempt charges. She got no jail time. She got nothing. She falsified a report. Nothing happened to her. Not a dang thing happened to her. Number two was in Utah. I've had three brushes, like I said. I've had issues with the Me Toos. I don't know how I meet these people. I had a female nurse. We all went out as friends, a bunch of us bowling, having some fun. At the end of the night, she kind of made a pass at me. I wasn't interested. And she'd actually came at me, lips and all, and I said, no, I'm not doing that. Not interested. She got very angry about that. So I left, went home. Next day, I find out rumors being spread around the whole hospital, at least on my unit, that I had been sexually inappropriate with her. She was now trying to ruin my reputation, probably hoping to get me fired. She actually had a position in management. And now I had this problem of I'm trying to work, do my job, and now I have somebody trying to muddy the waters for me. So quickly I went to the head up over her head, the ICU manager, and I told her what had happened. I said I rebuffed her. I wasn't interested in her in that way. I told her, you're my friend, and that's it. I don't want any romantic things, nothing. No lean on, nothing. She believed me. She said, yeah, I know, Steve. I've seen some of the girls you've gone out with and hung out with, and this woman here is not even close to what I've gone out with. So I believe your story. And I said, I just want to be left alone. I just want this woman to stop making up stories and trying to ruin me on this unit or try to get me fired. She went a little talking to this nurse by the manager. She finally calmed it down and she ended up leaving the hospital, went to another hospital, left the state actually. So that's number two. Number three was a real kicker in Modesto, California. Had a young woman who complained about upper back problems. I told her, I had some experience with that. I got some back issues too. Sometimes you have to adjust your back. If you go to a chiropractor, you can do that. She said, I can't afford a chiropractor. I said, well, you know, I'm pretty good at this stuff. I can do the thoracic. I don't do the cervical manipulation, but I do the back. I can do the thoracic for you. You know how to do this? Yeah, I do know how to do this. So I said, when the time's right, when you want to, let me know. You can lay a towel down over here, lie down on the towel, and I will realign your back. And she said, would you? I said, yeah, be happy to do it. And I did it. And she cracked like a chicken bone. And I mean, I'm up and down her back. And when I got done, she said, oh, I feel so good. I said, okay, good. You're welcome. Thank you so much. No problem. Another time she came to me and she says, my back hurts again, but it's more like my neck. I said, well, you know, I know how to do the cervical manipulation with my thumbs on either side of your vertebrae and kind of push back things in place, but I don't actually take your head and twist it. I won't go that far because that's kind of dangerous. She says, would you? I said, sure. So I did it. I loosened up her neck a little bit, and I did the thumb manipulation. Following day, she says, thanks, feels great. Following day, next day, I get called in the office because I was sexually inappropriate touching her. And I said, you got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding me. This woman asked me to do this, and now I have run into some nutty nurses. They should be psych nurses. I don't know. I tell you what, I've decided that I won't be in a room with a woman anymore unless I have a chaperone. That's the new rule. I can't be with anybody. I just run into the nuttiest people, and my manager, this manager, believed me too. I said, this is not true, and I just don't want any problems with this woman. I don't want to work her shift anymore. I don't want to work around her. I'm very disappointed. I tried to help and be a nice person. And this is what I get for that. And I have no clue what her deal was. She's a Me Too. This is back in 2004. So that was my brush. I think we got some calls lined up here, I think. Let me see. Mike, we got some calls? I'm taking calls, yes. Mike, I have any calls? Nobody's answering me. There we go. There we go. Got it back up. We're going to go to some phone calls, and we're going to dig into this Brett Kavanaugh thing here, because I've told you my three stories with the Me Toos. They're getting stronger. They're getting more bold. This feminism, the feminist that started off with don't wanting you to open the door. These women are now on steroids, and I'm going to say that every man really has to be very careful nowadays. You've got a bullseye in your head. I kid you not. Like I said, I had three instances. Well, two of them were of the sexual inappropriateness, which was not true. The other one was just a whacked out nut job. But we do have a bullseye on our head, and we have to be very careful nowadays. And, you know, if you look at a woman, don't look longer than 2 seconds, because that's sexually inappropriate. You can't do that. So we're going to go to the phones. Lark in Texas, what's on your mind? Lark, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. What's going on?
Okay. I actually didn't want to interrupt your flow. Those are interesting stories that you were telling.
There were nightmares at the time. Lark, they were total nightmares to be. You know, there's nothing worse. My attorney actually telling me to plead guilty on this really, really irritated me. And after it was all over, I looked at him. I said, you're a lousy attorney. I said, you're a lousy attorney. And I'm glad I didn't have to pay for you. But I'm glad I also didn't take your advice, because never, ever take a plea or plead guilty on something you didn't do. Stand your ground. And I did. And I said, I may go to jail. But I'm going to go to jail saying that I did not do these things, and I'm not going to cop a plea on this. So he was a lousy attorney. And sad part of it, like I said, I didn't have much money. I was a struggling college student on the money-wise, and I had to rely on a court-appointed attorney. And that's embarrassing, but it makes me now look at, are they all this bad, court-appointed attorneys? I don't know.
Well, I've got to tell you, I personally left the corporate world in the early 90s, vowing never to return.
Right.
And I found myself forming a corporation, but actually allowed my charter, my franchise charter, to elapse. So I didn't have to deal with all the BS from the state. But the reason I called is for two reasons. First of all, I wanted to say something about Santa Rosa,
yeah.
But I also want to get some clarification from you because you said Healdsburg College, and I
no Healdsburg Healdsburg High School, Healdsburg,
Healds
Berg High School, one word, Healdsburg High School football team. Quits.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. There we go. I was confused by that, because I found myself looking up Hillsdale College, because I actually subscribed to their newsletter. Now, Hillsdale College is in Michigan.
Right.
It's it was founded before the American War between the states, and Ludwig von Mises' papers are housed there, you know, of the von Mises Institute.
Right.
And, you know, Ludwig von Mises famously wrote the book called Human Action. You know, he claimed that he was against socialism. Mm-hmm. And yet you look at his own experience, it actually belies that, because he was a beneficiary of course, Rockefeller money, you know, for the years that he was at the University of Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, at one time, University of Chicago, in its infancy, wanted to join with Hillsdale College, and Hillsdale College refused them. And they've been fighting things like federal intrusion into their education curriculum for, you know, really since about the 60s. Mm-hmm. But that's very interesting. And there's also a Hillsboro College in Illinois, which is an old college,
right,
founded in 1837. But the reason I called is I wanted to tell you something about Santa Rosa. You just moved from Santa Rosa, is that correct?
No, I was actually in Windsor, California, about 12 miles south of Santa Rosa.
Okay, well, you know, Santa Rosa is the home of Deborah Tavares. Her and her husband are land developers. So a similar business is Ron McDonald.
Right.
Ron was a builder, I think, right?
Yep, he was, retired, and then went into law. Yeah, legal research, yeah, true.
Exactly. Well, here's something that you may not know about Santa Rosa. The reason I know about it is because my niece got her master's degree at Sonoma State.
Oh, yeah.
There in Santa Rosa.
Sure.
Here's what you may not know about Sonoma State. Sonoma State has something called Project Censored, which they're well known for.
Yep, I do know it.
And it's supposedly every year they have the top 10 news stories which are underreported by the media.
Right.
I hear the break.
Yeah, let us take you through the break here, and we'll be right back with Lark in Texas. This is the National Intel Report. Hang on, callers. There's plenty more.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And we are back. But before we go back to the phones with Lark in Texas, I want to say I got 4 more callers behind you, Lark. So I'm going to ask you to kind of make it fast. I hate to keep people on hold for so long. So go ahead. It's yours.
Well, I'll wrap it up. The man's name is Carl Jensen, who founded Project Censored at Sonoma State in 1976. They've got a radio program. Mm-hmm. They put out a book since 93 every year. They're oftentimes featured on places like Democracy Now! And National Public Radio, et cetera, et cetera.
I've actually had lunch with Peter Phillips before and talked to Peter Phillips, who's part of Project Censored, Sonoma State. He's actually Sonoma State professor in – he does 9/11 studies. I know that because he and I had lunch one day, and he was feeling me out. And he said, you know, you need your own show. And then we started talking about the funny money system, and he says, nah. Then he didn't want to work with me on a project, so I said, that's fine. But, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, it's useful to know because, see, I've had some experience with this. My niece went to school there, you know, and as I've mentioned before. But, I wanted to clear up the confusion because I referenced Hillsdale College instead of what you actually said regarding the high school and their football team. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to mention that in case you didn't know it, these people were avowed Marxists, and this includes Mickey Huff, who followed Carl Jensen, and Robin Eubanks, in a correspondence that I sent to you, she talked about how Hillsdale College, which is supposed to be so conservative, right, so pro-Constitution, even their curriculum has been muddied today because they've got they're talking about Adam Smith's theory of moral sentiments, and they're tying it in with Alexis de Tocqueville, Democracy in America, and all this other kind of stuff. And this is happening across college campuses all across the country. Right. And so it's much worse in really even than the public school system. Even if you put your child in a private school, they have to teach the test. And as a final note regarding the encroachment of communitarianism in all the school systems across America, because, I mean, you've got children and grandchildren. Yep. You should know that even the medical industry, you know, when you look at the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, you know, you have to look at people like Jonathan Gruber, mm-hmm, and Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, who's the one that came up with the duty to die principle. And so there's much to talk about in how this encroachment of this this school of thought known as communitarianism has penetrated every single aspect of our lives. And, of course, it ties directly to communitarian law. And so I'll leave it there. But, Joe, I just wanted to clear up that confusion. Yep. Regarding Hillsdale College and the high schools.
Yep. Appreciate it, Lark. Yes, it is Healdsburg High School in Healdsburg, California. Fred dropped. We've come back. We got Chris in Las Vegas, Dave and Roxanne. Hang on. This is the National Intel Report.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.